Well, thank all of y'all. It's a privilege for us to be here with you. And, you know, Judy and I, as we were thinking about what we might talk about, and we were just thinking about it, is right around the New Year's and just what kind of New Year's resolutions that all of y'all maybe made. And, you know, if it's kind of like us, it might be replace the carpets or get the carpets cleaned. Or might be change jobs or get out of debt or move to a new neighborhood or lose weight or clean out the garage. Or because you're here, it might be to improve your marriage and like make the most of your marriage just by stop doing the things that are causing conflict in your marriage and start doing those things that'll draw you closer to each other. And restore that affection that you once had for each other and restore the sexual desire that you once had for each other. And Judy and I enjoy listening to the music of a group called Need to Breathe, and they have a song called Difference Maker. And we want to share with you tonight what we have found to be the number one difference maker in marriage. The activity that has increased our spiritual and physical intimacy more than anything else in our 56 years of marriage. And that difference maker is prayer. And that's simply talking to God, the God of the universe, the God who made everything, the God who made everyone, and the God who can do anything. And that's the God who can make all of our marriages better. And but there is a starting point. There's a verse in the Bible, in the book of Amos, that says, can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? And the answer to that is no, because if you can't agree on the direction, you're not going to be walking together. And that was the case when Judy and I got married. Judy was a follower of Christ while I claimed to be a Christian. It was a name only. I was a follower of Jim Wimberly. I was going to be successful in business. I was going to make a lot of money, and I was going to fulfill all of my selfish, lustful desires. And it didn't take long for us to see that we weren't walking together. And so the question that I would ask, that we would ask of you to start off with, is are you walking together spiritually? And what do we mean by that? Do both of you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Because that spiritual foundation puts you on a path that will lead you to establishing a prayer life that is a difference maker, that is going to produce an abundant and a purposeful marriage.
So the two of you need to be headed in the same direction. Spiritual intimacy in a marriage is two going in the same direction that God desires for you from His Word and by His Spirit. Two people not isolated, but two hearts touching and interacting with each other. Not having a marriage that's marked by spiritual silence. And by that I mean that you don't connect or communicate or share spiritual things together. We need to individually have intimacy spiritually with God. But what we're talking about tonight is as a couple sharing spiritual things one with another. Spiritual intimacy in marriage is not something that comes automatically when you say, I do. To have spiritual intimacy as a couple, it has to start with each of you having a personal relationship, a personal oneness with the God of the universe, and then the two of you can share spiritual things with each other. Spiritual intimacy is vertically connecting with God and horizontally connecting with each other. Our spiritual intimacy as a couple started in a very rocky way. I accepted Christ and became His follower as a young child. And as James said, he knew about Jesus, but he didn't know Him personally. We did not have any form of spiritual oneness in the first years of our marriage, because it takes both the husband and wife committed to following Jesus to have that foundation for spiritual intimacy. You both have to agree on the spiritual direction for your marriage.
Judy and I met at Baylor University, and that's where parents send their daughters to meet godly men. But I was not one of those guys. They had a spiritual gathering on Wednesday night at Baylor, and it was called BRH, Baptist Religious Hour. But I never went to that. Me and my friends were out on the highway at another BRH, which was Buddy's Roadhouse. So the first years of our marriage did not go well at all. I was a deceiver and not a believer. And while I promised Judy's father that I'd be the spiritual leader in the home and that I would take her to church, and that was short-lived, because my number one priority in life was not God or even Judy, but it was totally me. I was obsessed with myself, my career, and getting my way. And to make things even more unpleasant for my wife... Is that off? Okay. To make things more unpleasant for my wife, my fits of anger and rage were the source of many conflicts. Like the time that I was dozing in front of the TV and Judy asked me to open a jar of pimentos. And when I couldn't get the jar open, I threw it against the wall. And with glass and pimentos trickling down the wall, I said, "Now, there you go, they're open." But that is not the best way to open a glass jar. And it's definitely not the best way to build a lasting relationship. And I'm sure that we would have been divorced many, many years ago had I not come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that was 7 years into our marriage. In 1970, I was reading a little book, the Four Spiritual Laws booklet, which a friend gave me. And I was convicted of my sin and my need for a Savior. And I asked Jesus to come into my life, forgive me of my sin, and make me the man he wanted me to be. And my decision to follow Christ not only saved me, but it saved my marriage. And Judy and I were now headed in the same spiritual direction. And we gave each of you a copy of that little booklet, which has been retitled Connecting with God. And we want to ask you to read that booklet tonight when you get home individually and ask the question, have I trusted in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of my sins? And if the answer is no, we'd ask you to seriously consider the claims of Christ in that little booklet and his plan for your life, because that's how you have the starting point for your life and your marriage to get better. And if you both are followers of Christ and you're always already heading in the same direction, share that little booklet with somebody else. And then you just need to keep applying God's truth and principles, which you're learning right here in Reengage. And you'll see your marriage and your life get better and better.
God desires us to have oneness in our marriage. And the Latin for intimacy means inner. It's allowing someone to know the inner you. Think of the word intimacy as four little words. In, to, me, see. Intimacy in any relationship requires pursuit. You do not drift into intimacy. You drift into isolation. And girls, even with a husband who is the spiritual leader in your home, your sufficiency is still going to need to be in Christ, because even the best leader cannot meet all of your expectations. As wives, our confidence and our trust has to be in the Lord, and we need to remind ourselves of who He is so we can rest in Him to work in our husband's lives. And one thing we want to keep in mind is nowhere in Scripture are we called upon to be the Holy Spirit in our husband's life. So I hate to tell you that, but it's true.
And we can both tell you that praying together has worked wonders in our intimacy, both spiritual and physical, and with our intimacy with God. And Colossians 1:17 says, He is before all things, talking about Jesus, and in Him all things hold together. And Jesus is the glue that holds the universe together, and it's in Him that our marriages, all of our marriages, are held together. And 24 hours a day, He is always available to us to talk to Him. In John 5:17, Jesus said, My Father is always working, and so am I. And three scriptures that have been very motivating to us and foundational verses for our prayer life are Colossians 4:2, be devoted to prayer, and Philippians 4:6, that is, pray about everything, and 1 Thessalonians 5:17, that says, pray at all times. And many years ago, we were at a mission conference, and during the prayer time, a pastor from India stood up, and all he said is that when man works, man works. When man prays, God works, and he sat down. And these foundational verses and that statement have greatly affected our prayer life. And so we just encourage you in this new year, why not go to the one who is all-powerful, the one who is always working, and all we have to do is ask Him to help us.
There's lots of different kinds of prayer: praise and thanksgiving, worship, rejoicing, repentance, personal needs, intercession for others, salvation for others, ministries, churches, schools, camps, missions. But just think about participating with each other in all of these things. Getting started is the hardest part. Can you say awkward? Suggest that if you're in the beginning stage of praying together, to use a little devotion book to jumpstart the presence. And the one we would recommend is a little book called Two Hearts Praying as One by Dennis and Barbara Rainey. And it gives you 30 days of things to pray together, and it actually starts out where each of you just reads a prayer to each other. But 30 days will form a habit. And there's many formats for praying together. The format that has worked the best for James and me is walking. It's a multitask that's very doable even at our age. We can get exercise together, and we do not feel uncomfortable just sitting and staring at each other while we're praying. And so what I love about it is that we walk and James prays what is on his heart, and I listen. I don't give advice. I don't criticize. I don't say, here, let me fix that for you. I just listen. And then I pray and he listens, and he doesn't criticize me, and he doesn't try to fix it, and he doesn't say, why on earth are you worried about that? We become aware of each other's heart on those walks. Many mornings we walk and we never speak directly to each other, but we come back to the house with a deep understanding of communication from listening to the other one safely expose their heart desires and thoughts to God. In the early years of our walking and praying, we formed a plan for what we would pray each day so that within a week, we would have covered all the things that we wanted to in prayer. And so on Mondays, we prayed for our immediate family. We had four children. Now we have 14 grandchildren. So it's a lot to pray for on a Monday. Tuesday, we pray for our spiritual family, like our community group and other small groups that we're part of. Wednesdays, we pray for church, for the staff, for the elders, and for the ministries here. We pray for Reengage. On Thursdays, we pray for the lost. We use our top 10 list. We pray for our neighbors as we pass their houses. And we prayed, when our kids were growing up, we added, like if they had were on a team, we added the team list to our prayer list on that day. On Fridays, we pray for the world. Now, there were six of us since we had four children. So each of us had a specific continent that we prayed for on Fridays. And they would write down in a little notebook what they were praying for their continent every Friday. And this turned out to be the most positive thing for our kids. They're all grown adults now, but they still pray for their continent. And on Saturday, we would pray for each other. And on Sunday, we would just try to stick to praise and thanksgiving as much as we could. We love to walk and pray. We started that long ago. Even when our kids were little, we would put them to bed. We would walk up the sidewalk a little ways, a couple of houses. Then we'd turn around, walk back down to our house. We could see our house all the time. I'm sure our neighbors thought we were crazy. And when James had very serious heart surgery, we were limited. We walked around in our house, and our neighbors laughed because they said they could see the shadow of us just walking around in the house. But you will figure out the best format for you as a couple as you go along. And we've used lots of different patterns for praying. And don't sit here tonight and you think, oh my gosh, I got to go home and try to do all those things. Remember, we are talking about 56 years of marriage. So all you need to do tonight is to walk out with one or two things that you want to start developing in your own relationship.
And one of the things we'd encourage you to do is pray scripture when you pray. Because you are praying God's will, you know you're praying God's will when you do that. And for example, just praying from 1 Timothy 1:5, Father, help Judy and I to have a love that comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience, and a sincere faith. Or Romans 12:12, you know, God, help us to be joyful in hope, patient in trouble, and constant in prayer. And, you know, you can just go through and pick out all kinds of things to pray. And, you know, we have had major disappointments in our lives and in our marriages, like I'm sure many of you have too. But we go back to Joshua 1:9 and just say, God, thank you. Even though we don't feel like it, we know from your word that you're with us everywhere you go. And help us not to fear. Help us not to be dismayed, but Lord, help us to be strong and courageous like you tell us to do. And then when we'd go on trips, we'd pray for our marriage, pray for our kids, pray for our grandkids. And we love to go on beach vacations. And so, you know, we'll take a book of the Bible when we go. And last one we went on, we took 2 Corinthians and prayed through that book. But we've gone through Colossians and Galatians and Ephesians and some of them several times of just praying through that book for our family on those trips. And we know we're praying God's will when we do that. And one of the things as we read a Bible, and it can become a journal scrapbook of where there was one year that in the journey we read through the Bible, and so I wrote out a prayer each day for all of our family and our children for each chapter as we went through the book of the Bible. And, you know, that's a real memory of what we prayed for our children.
Another thing we have prayed for is for character qualities. And for me, I have prayed for James the character qualities that God lists in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1 that he desires in a mature man in the Lord. So wives out there, if I ask you to make a list of 10 things you would like to change in your husband, you would have no trouble putting that down in 5 minutes. You could think of 10 things. So one time I just sat down and I thought of 10 things I wanted to change in James. And then I put them in an envelope and I sealed it and I asked the Lord.
And she sent it special delivery.
No, I didn't. I hid it. But I asked the Lord to help me pray for those character qualities in Timothy and Titus, so that I was praying for the same thing that God wanted in him, and I was surrendering those 10 things that I had jotted down. And later on, I did get that envelope out and open it, and oh my gosh, I was praying for the silliest 10 things that were not really all that important. And then another thing that worked for us when our kids were growing up and life was just so busy was 5-second prayers. And so we would just stop in the morning. We kept those five-second prayers with a magnet on the refrigerator in the kitchen. And James would just stop. He would put his arm around me and pray a five-second prayer. And we would just focus on what that five-second prayer was all during the day and then talk about it in the evening. There is so much chatter in the reality of the world now and the digital world that sometimes it's really refreshing to just realize you can communicate something to the God of the universe that's very significant in 5 seconds. And so remember that God is there to hear you when you pray. He's always working. So we gave you a copy of just one sheet of our 5 second prayers, but you could make up your own. You can Google 5 second prayers and a bunch of them will come up. But something like, change us, Lord. That's the prayer that we would pray one morning and think about that all day. Or, Lord, help us encourage each other in our faith today. Or, God, remind us today that we are your prized possessions. And then, Father, grant us wisdom so that we look at life through your eyes. God wants to hear from us. He wants us to keep an attitude of prayer. And we found that 5 second prayers really helped us do that.
And another concept that we instituted is when we had something to pray about, just pray on the spot. You know, whether we're in the car or whether we're on the telephone or texting each other or whatever. And this is a habit we started many years ago, and it continues today. And we do that throughout the day with each other. And also, the habit spreads to other people. So when somebody asks me or asks you to pray for them, you know, we do it right there, just knowing that if we walk away, we'll probably forget about it. And, you know, pray together without delay and pray on the spot.
And then talking about how praying together has increased our intimacy. As the joy of our relationship and our intimacy with the Lord has increased, it opens the door wider to joy and intimacy in our relationship with each other. Praying together removes physical roadblocks because we are honestly sharing ourselves, both spiritually and emotionally, in a safe way. And it makes us more reliant on the Lord. And we don't have to have that sense of, I've got to stay in control of him, or I'm going to be anxious and fret over how this is going. And so one thing we do when we pray is we thank God for specific character qualities in each other. And it is, as a woman, it is really encouraging for me to hear James thank God for some specific quality of me that he is grateful for. And likewise, I want to encourage him by being thankful for the qualities and character that God has developed in him. And another
thing, I love the way you love God's word.
Good. And so we do read scripture. Was that a prompt for this next one? We do read scripture, and one thing we do is like we will personalize the singular pronouns to the plural pronouns. For instance, in the 23rd Psalm, when we say the Lord is, we say our shepherd instead of my shepherd. And you lead us in paths of righteousness. And so by changing that pronoun, it just reminds us the two of us are one. And I'm not on my own little path through life and asking God to just be my shepherd. It's that he will be our shepherd together. Now, one thing James has been very good about is to plan specifically that we go away at least once during the year as a couple. And those have become very special times for us to just focus on each other, rest, be refreshed, walk on the beach or the countryside, and great times to be able to pray. And so I've been very appreciative that he does that. And yes, it's hard to get somebody when you have 4 kids to take care of them to get away like that. It's much easier for us now that they're all grown up. But try to do that. Ask God to. It doesn't have to be super expensive. It can be very simple. It's just some time for the two of you together.
In conclusion, we'd just like to encourage both of you with the fact that for your marriage to be really good, You both need to be headed in the same spiritual direction. And, you know, that starts with both of you having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's just asking Him to forgive you of your sins and come in and change you and make you the person that He wants you to be. And, you know, I have seen Him do that in my life, and He is continuing to work in both of our lives to make us more like Jesus. And when you're headed in the same spiritual direction, we need to go to Jesus in prayer. He is longing to hear from each one of us. He wants to help us with every difficulty we've got. And I'd just like to encourage you, as you leave here tonight, pray one of those 5-second prayers and just start off the new year of 2020 of saying, we're going to pray together a 5-second prayer each day of this year. And what a difference that will make in your marriage. And we also have found that we need to pray big. And, you know, we don't worship a small God. And He is bigger than all of our marriages. He created everything and He holds everything together. Remember that verse in Colossians 1:17, He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Early in a marriage, I had a Volkswagen with over 150,000 miles on it, and I used to pray that verse each time I got into it. God, hold my Volkswagen together. But one day when I was driving on the freeway, the wheel came off, and I determined that it was time to get rid of my car and get another one. Well, wheels come off in marriages too, just like cars. And the world's way is to say you get rid of your spouse and get a new one. But God's way is to honor the covenant that you made. And He says, I will help you if you'll only let me. And the result will be a marriage that is fun, fulfilling, and honoring to God. And it starts by asking Him to help us. And we have found that prayer has been a tremendous difference maker in our marriage, because when we pray, God works. Pray with me. Father, we do thank You. Just Judy and I thank You for the miracle You've worked in our lives and our marriage, and we realize it's all because of You. And we just ask that You'd do the same thing in each couple's life in this room tonight. And God, we just thank You that You are a difference maker, and prayer is a difference maker when we just come and ask You to help us. And may every couple do that tonight. Lord, just help emphasize to each one of us the importance of talking with You and just asking for Your help, Your guidance, Your direction, Your blessing on our marriages, our families. And Lord, we just pray that great stories of Your grace, Your reconciliation, Your power would just come through this re-engage class. And God, we just thank You so much for salvation You make available to us through Your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray in His name, amen. Thank you guys very much.